As you're probably aware, our politicians from both sides of the world are trying to tell us that climate change isn't occurring. But in fact it is, it's already occurring. And species are already responding to this changing climate. And one of the challenges that we face when we're trying to assess the potential implications of a changing climate further into the future is not only how individual species will respond to a rapidly changing climate, but actually how communities will respond. Will the interactions decouple, and will those changes in abundance and also distribution and also those interactions, what implications will those changes have at a community level? So what we need to understand beforehand, before we can start assessing impacts into the future, from my perspective, is to understand what environmental factors are actually contributing to the community structure of insect assemblages today. And I'll talk about just what impacts climate change is expected to have in Australia, and also assess environmental factors in terms of their ability to explain community structure of insect herbivores on a single host plant, and also along its entire latitudinal distribution. And the next step, I'll be talking about research that's currently underway in my lab, assessing the phylogeny of the of a plant genera and the insect communities found on it, and also the associated plant traits, how they influence community structure and changes in community structure across climatic zones in eastern Australia. So here you can see that Australia is pretty much in a spot of bother when it comes to a changing climate. We've got the double whammy. We've got changes, an increase in temperature. It ranges from less than around a degree on the east coast of Australia, right up into the northwest, where by 2030, the CSIRO, which is the major government agency that is well funded, they're predicting that there's going to be quite a substantial increase in temperature in the next 30 years. The other worrying point here is that in terms of precipitation, annual precipitation is expected to decrease continent-wide. And in most scenarios that have been developed, the predictive models actually state that there's no prediction for increases in precipitation on an annual scale. There is some increases seasonally, but when it's taken annually, there's no actual increase in precipitation. So what I'm interested in trying to understand is what of these four particular factors explain community structure and how do they interact? What's the relative importance of climate? Also weather, those individual day-to-day changes in temperature and precipitation, as well as plant traits and sample variables, such as latitude and season. This data set is actually part of a whole suite of data I've collected before, and at the end of the talk, I've actually analysed data on species richness of herbivores, as well as done transplant experiments assessing species richness per se. Today, I'm going to talk about abundance and biomass estimates in higher taxonomic groups. My plant species that I've chosen to assess was Acacia falcata. It's sort of a shrubby, weedy species that is quite common along the east coast of Australia. It's you can see in that shaded area, that's its latitudinal distribution. It's about 1,150 kilometres. And I sampled from four latitudes within the actual distribution of falcata. And with each of those latitudes, I had three sites which were independent of each other, and collected insect samples using a backpack pyrethrum sprayer from 10 trees every season for 2 years. In terms of the environmental variables that I put into the model, they included sample variables, host plant variables, climatic variables, and weather variables. The climatic and weather variables were extracted from the closest weather station to the sites, and the climatic variables is basically an average over about 70 or 80 years worth of data. As you can see, the weather variables here are similar to the climatic variables, except the rainfall, which is the rainfall 24 hours previous to sampling. So the higher taxa, which I'll just talk about today, include predators. Approximately 3,300 odd little beasties were collected and used in this data set. Parasitoids, the leaf chewers, 2,120, and the sapsuckers. It should all be noted here that these are all adults. At the moment, the juveniles were, as you're probably aware, when you assessing species richness, the juveniles are very difficult to identify in a similar vein to the same species as adults. So all the juveniles for this particular data analysis have been excluded. So just to take into account, so it's abundance and biomass that I'm assessing here. It's off 930 plants, individual plants that were sampled over the 2 years. So it's a relatively large data set off a single plant species along a longitudinal distribution. And I used a multiple linear regression and then used Akaki's information criteria to assess the best fit model. So just to take you through here, this is the best fit model for predators. For abundance, you can see that the rain 24 hours previous to sampling is one of the most important variables in the model, but also latitude, the maximum temperature on the day of sampling, and also the climatic variable annual rain in millimetres. I've just done a quick colour coding just to help you with to determine which particular variable is in which environmental factor. The R squared here is 0.18. It's not that high, but it tells you that it's still making some substantial contribution to explaining the abundance of the predators. And also, I show here the major factor is the R squared's 0.08 for here rain 24 hours previous to sampling. For biomass, again, a similar model with two weather variables and a sample variable here. Again, rain 24 hours previous to sampling being important. For parasites, here a climatic variable, the annual rainfall being particularly important, but also three different weather variables for the abundance of parasites. For the biomass of parasites, we hear again latitude is an important variable coming out, as well as annual rainfall and maximum temperature on the day of sampling. Leaf chewers, the best fit model here is pretty poor, it's less than 10%, but still two for abundance. Two weather variables contributing to the best fit model, and for biomass, latitude, and again the two weather variables. And finally, the sapsuckers. These are little guys, latitude, and also a range of climatic and weather variables being important here. Here the R squared value is probably the highest I got, so it's actually a relatively strong model predicting the abundance of these little fellas. But biomass being in complete contrast is a very poor model with only one factor, temperature, contributing anything to that particular fit. So what does this all mean? Well, basically, if we try and generalise somewhat in terms of what are the main factors sort of contributing to explaining abundance and biomass of these higher taxa, you can see here sample variables, particularly latitude, is very important in explaining the changes in abundance and biomass. But also weather, individual day-to-day variations is important, as is climate in three of the four groups. Now, bringing this back to climate change, again, we will expect overall climatic changes, averages in precipitation and temperature will change. But again, weather's really important, and it's one of those factors that is often neglected from when we're assessing climate change. Those variations, high temperatures, will actually, the number of days with higher temperatures will increase over the next 50 years. Precipitation will lower on average, but precipitation will occur in larger bursts. So there'll be fewer days with precipitation, but when it does happen, it'll become in higher amounts. So again, weather and climate should always be included when we're trying to assess the insect community structure. So where is this going now? Well, I obviously just want to expand my sort of sampling even more. And one of the interesting things was the plant traits didn't come out as important. And that potentially is because I only sampled off one plant species. So what I'm doing now is integrating the influence of climate and weather, host plant phylogeny and plant traits into my collection regime. This is just a map of here. There's in New South Wales, there's Australia here. The sampling in New South Wales ranges from the subtropical zone of New South Wales and also the temperate zone, which is quite a large area up in the Tablelands. Armidale, if you're interested, is just around here where I'm from. The semi-arid forests, and also the semi-arid grasslands are my four discrete climatic zones. This is showing the range of acacia host plant species that I'll be using. Don't put them all to memory. It's just to show you that I'll be sampling across the sections of at the acacia phylogeny. The phylogeny of acacia at the moment is in complete disarray, so I'm using more of a classic phylogeny here. And you can just see I'm using a phylogenetic independent contrast method to sample, and also sampling from the different climatic zones. Whole range of different plant traits. Acacia, there's over 1,200 species of acacia in Australia, and they show a whole suite of different plant traits, as well as changes in CN ratios and leaf toughness and phylo toughness as well. And just to finish off, again, I've got students working on leaf miner diversity in gallings, rates of herbivory. I want to start getting into DNA barcoding so I can actually start to identify a lot of those nymphs that I can't get to now, plus do a few transplant experiments to transplant host plant species into a warmer climate and into novel environments as well, and assist with identifying biocontrol agents on problem acacias, especially in South Africa. And that's it. I'll leave it there. Thank you. Well, I actually sample the entire plant because it's a shrub. I can actually get the they're free-living herbivores. So you do with the pyrethrum spray, it's a chemical knockdown. So you do encompass all the, or hopefully encompass all the individuals on the plant that way. So hopefully you are getting that, you're negating that individual sort of changes in parts of plant.